Gimel Tavis, Thursday the 25th of December, Rabbi Roni Halibard, The Darkest Days in Jewish History.
Good morning to everybody. My first time at Torah Way, so please forgive me for a very dull topic, perhaps. The darkest days in Jewish history. I'm not referring to Hanukkah, which has been illuminated. I'm not referring to 25th December, which is a whole different subject matter. I'm referring to an event that happened way back thousands of years ago at a very difficult time in Jewish history. We had our second Beis HaMikdash. We celebrated with the return to Eretz Yisrael of a part, at least, of Klal Yisrael. As we come back to Eretz Yisrael, build up Beis HaMikdash and start to worship again, prophecy ceases, and a century later, the Greeks become a very strong entity in their own right. It becomes strong enough, and in the whole region, not just Eretz Yisrael, but the whole region around, and we find a very major migration of Jews across to, out of all places, Egypt, a place that we weren't supposed to go back to, but we made our way across there. We now meet Ptolemy the First. In Hebrew, we call him Talmai HaMelech. Chazal don't differentiate between him and his son. He was the first Ptolemy. His son takes over soon afterwards. So we're about a century now into the second Beis HaMikdash era. And here we have a very difficult era because Ptolemy the Second decides he wants to understand our Torah. He wants to know what our Torah teaches. He wants to understand its virtues, its greatness. Not everyone sees his acts as being as perfect as that. Some say he actually was looking to cause us trouble. He was looking to prove our Torah wrong. He wanted to undermine us and our ways, our whole Klal Yisrael's teachings, etc., etc. The best clue, in fact, that we get to his actions is the fact that he doesn't actually call up the Rabbanim and give them an instruction what to do and lead them to work together to create the ideal translation of the Torah, but rather that he calls them into separate rooms, each with a separate task, in a way that they couldn't intercommunicate, discuss the issues, and come out with one Torah, but rather he probably intended to come out with multiple versions of Torah, and thus to prove that our Torah wasn't as authentic as we were claiming it to be. Whatever the case was, Talmai decided he wanted to understand our Torah. What was his process? He calls together a whole bunch of Chachamim. According to most opinions, it seems as though he actually calls together just one, not 70 of them. He calls one. He was Elazar the Kohen Gadol at the time. And if you go with Josephus' interpretation of the whole story, he, Elazar Kohen Gadol, was actually in charge of getting the Arach HaChomer together, but he also simultaneously headed the delegation. So he was part of that group, heading the group directly. At the time, Talmai was actually apparently very appropriate with the Chachomim. He called them together originally and initially for a 12-day festival. And for 12 days, they sat with him every day. According to some reports, they went back home each day to their families and to their families, to the Mishpacha. But he essentially had a party with them each day, all day long, festively eating and enjoying his time with them, asking them questions and waiting for their answers. Supposedly, he was extremely impressed, in fact, with the answer they gave. And he enjoyed their wisdom. He gave them tremendous gifts as presents for their work. Then he began to get a bit tougher with us. He then took 72 Chachamim, although he called it Targum HaShevim. The 70s translations, actually 72 were called together, which is an interesting number because 72, of course, is 12 times 6, which means essentially, effectively, you're taking 6 members from each Shevet, which echoes very much what Moshe had done years beforehand in the Midbar with the Shittim Zakenim and the whole story of Eldad and Medad, who were the two surplus ones or who felt they were surplus, and they went back home as a result and got extra levels of Nevu afterwards. That's a side detail. Essentially, he took the 70 and he put them onto a boat. They traveled for what's told to be 1 kilometer of distance, 2/3 of a mile, from Alexandria of Egypt, where they were originally based, and he places them into individual cells. Now, there is such a mandama, there's such a thought out there, that it wasn't actually individual cells as we think of, locked behind bars and with a nice, strong, barred gate and all they get is one piece of bread a day. There's a suggestion actually their cells were quite pleasant experiences. Large rooms, palatial type, beautiful rooms. And his intention, Carmichael's intention was, if they're in comfort and sitting in a very local, beautiful area with good food and warmth and everything, hopefully they will produce a good piece of Torah that way. Regardless of whether his intentions were so perfect or not, he put them to separate rooms with one clear instruction that, again, the way the story reported to us through Chazal, he actually came into each individual cell, each individual room, and gave them an instruction. He told them very simply five words, Kisvu li Torah Moshe Rabbein. Please write for me the Torah of Moshe Rabbein.
Were they all in this one boat?
No, this is after both. They came into a palace type area or set of rooms, individual instructions in a building. They've off the boat, now in a real building. Thank you for clarifying. Missed the boat, very good.
Why would he say Rabbein? It's not.
Well, it's Rabbeichem, he said, your rabbi. I'm saying Rabbein, our rabbi. Correct, well said. And he gave an instruction, go translate it. Of course, he wanted it to be translated into Greek because he was of Greek origin and background. And at that time, the Torah had never yet been put into any language other than Lashon HaKodesh. There is a suggestion, again, from Chazal, that they needed help. The Chachamim were not able to translate the Torah themselves because they didn't know Greek on a high enough level to do so. And therefore, he would have given, provided for each of them, a series of scribes and translators, the equivalent of today's Google, to help them put the translation into Greek in a high level as it was necessary. This process actually lasted 72 days. So you have 70 chachamim for 70 days roughly, each preparing the Torah into Greek, working very hard at it. And it's not so clear, actually, if you look at all the sources, whether or not the translation was just of the Torah, it could have also been of the entire Tanakh. Personally, I have a netziah based upon, again, how Chazal interpret the whole story. I personally don't see it as being the whole of Tanakh for a couple of reasons. Number one, in those days, the Greeks didn't appreciate and value Navi, the actual declarations that were documented at that time as what we call Neviim Kesuvim. It wasn't as valuable to them. Part of the whole Gezeirah of Hanukkah, we understand. Why was it that Hanukkah is so important? Because we had the chance to go back and take control of Eretz Yisrael, and our Torah could then take a stand at Eretz Yisrael after a 200-year period of the Greek Empire. However, the reality is that they weren't stopping us from learning Navi. It was the Torah that they valued, and Navi to them was relatively less significant. The second point I'd like to point out here...
Relative to Hanukkah, when was this?
I'll get there soon. Very good. The other point I'd like to mention on this detail of why they wouldn't have necessarily wanted the Navi to be translated into Greek is very simply, at this time, there was no official Nach. It didn't exist yet. It is correct that since this story happened about 100 years after we built the second Beis HaMikdash, that any story that had happened previously could be entered into what we call Nach. But it wasn't canonized as what we call one book of Tanakh until few centuries after this story. That only happened after Churban Bayis Sheni, according to most opinions. And therefore, even if the Greeks would have appreciated our Navi, they wouldn't likely have wanted necessarily our Navi to be put into Greek, because that wasn't as important to them. It was then just a series of scriptures, no different, probably, from the writings that you and I would put out today as a Sefer published with a professional printing press. So I suspect, therefore, when he asked for Torah, Moshe Rabbeichem, he probably was asking only for the Torah, the Chamish HaChumash Torah, and probably not for the rest of the Torah, not for the rest of Nach, the Vienna Kesuvim also. The problem, of course, as we understand with this whole issue, is that for the first time in Jewish history, we now have not just non-Jewish access to our Torah, which could then be used against us, and abused, as we've seen over the centuries, but even more so, it was going to be devaluing the whole worth of the Torah. The Torah itself is written in Lashon HaKodesh, which according to all standards is by far the most appropriate language for the ability to take out more than one pshat. Any pasuk you ever open, there's more than one opinion as to how to understand that pasuk, the word choice, the diktat that comes with it, etc. And only in Lashon HaKodesh do you have that ability, that opportunity, to take the wording and to decode and decipher the deeper meanings of the word choice within the pasuk itself. As Chazal themselves say, Torah is written with shivim panim. 70, that number appears again. 70 different approaches. And every pasuk can be understood in multiple ways, based upon Chazal, based upon the way it was handed down to us, and based upon the codification of the Torah, again, the rules that we handed down to us through Tershah Baal Peh. When you translate the Lashon HaKodesh into any language, it doesn't matter which language, it doesn't matter how royal the language may be, the second you translate the Torah into another language, automatically and by definition, you are diminishing, you are restricting, you are condensing the ability to understand that Torah in multiple ways, and you're limiting it probably to only the one specific translation you have in front of you. So here we have now, for the first time, the non-Jewish world of access to our Torah, but to make it even worse, they only have one possible translation, and that's the one that's left up to their understanding and their interpretation based upon the language into which it has been translated. That was a big no-no for us. And for Klal Yisrael, that became a really big problem. You open any pasuk, Rashi and Ramban or Ibn Ezra, how they argue and how to understand a pasuk, and we say, what about those pshatim? They're all correct. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. They're all correct. We'll accept them all as the correct translation and interpretation. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. This is the message that you and I are meant to take from it for all time. Now suddenly, for the first time in Jewish history, anybody who opens the Targum HaShivim, this translation, can only decipher one possible interpretation, and they're stuck and restricted. That itself put a tremendous burden, therefore, on the Chachamim involved. They were given a gigantic task. They were given a task to translate the Torah into Greek in a way that it could still, in some way, be interpreted in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended originally way back at Matan Torah. A huge task. The Greeks thought they could translate. They thought that they could interpret. They thought they had access to it. But they would still be miles away from the real truth. A miracle did happen in the process. Despite the fact that the Chachamim were put in 70 different rooms, and they were all locked away individually, with no chance to involve themselves in a machlokes process that would end up with an ideal translation, as best as possible, in this new language. Despite that, despite the fact they had no intercommunication, after these 72 days, they exit their rooms, and a sheer miracle had happened. And this is after the miracle of Purim. We're used to miracles happening, but we've had a whole century without Nevuah at this time. We've had a whole generation where we haven't had an easy ride in Eretz Yisrael. And it's 100 years into the Greek period, we're still a full century away from the Hanukkah story. And yet another incredible miracle happens. A miracle happens. They exit their rooms, and the Greeks compare their translations, and every single document is identical. Every single translation has the identical Greek translation. That's an incredible statement. If you and I were today, were to try to translate the simplest of texts, just one sentence, the chances are every one of us in this room would come out with a slightly different variation of how to translate that text. That's just one line. Take in Hebrew, some 300,000 letters, thousands and thousands of words, all written in Lashon HaKodesh, deliberately, in a way that you could decipher multiple interpretations, and yet when they exit their rooms, they come out with identical translations. It's unbelievable. The Greeks took one look at all of them and said, wow, if they're all identical, they must all be correct. And that became known as the Septuagint. It's a Latin word. It means 70. Some will tell you it means 70 because of the 70 rabbis. It could be the 70 days this process took. It could be the 70 languages into which our Torah ended up being translated, because from Greek, our Torah went into every other language under the sun. I joke about it, and forgive me, but to this day, the Torah is still the most read book in Jewish history, even more than Harry Potter. And that's saying something. I'm not sure for how much longer that would be true, but right now that is still the case. Why did Hashem not want the Torah to be in the hands of non-Jews? Because he didn't want them to do exactly what the Greeks did. He didn't want them to condense Torah into one translation that would be accepted even by Jewish people. The Jews of Alexandria in Egypt accepted that translation. They themselves weren't knowledgeable enough to decipher Torah directly from its initial source, and therefore they accepted that Torah. And Hashem didn't want that. But there's a much deeper meaning also, much deeper reason. And that's based upon the Medrash that you find echoed a few more times. You find one in Bamidbar Rabbah, you find it also in the Tanchuma, you'll find it in Shmais Rabbah. And if we know, the main Gemara appears in Maseches Megillah. But the Medrash, when it talks about this story, has a very interesting take on it. It discusses in a very different light the idea that we have two different Torahs, the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And the Medrash essentially is asking the question in different formats, in different places. Why would it be that Hashem needs to have both? Why can't you have one or the other? And in fact, the questions really are simply, why didn't Hashem give the entire Torah, Bichsav, make it clear, finite, definitive, and forever? And the Medrash explains each time. Again, a different wording, but it's the same message each time. There's a very important detail that comes out of this. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu documented the whole Torah Shebichsav, had the entire Torah been written down, everything, the oral teachings also, when the non-Jews would get a hold of our Torah, they would say, ah, we are the new chosen people. We are the new Yisrael. Yes, Hashem gave them the Torah, but look, it's in our hands. It's ours now, and proudly, we will persist with it. Hashem says, no. I'll give the Torah Shebichsav to Klal Yisrael in writing. But the Torah Shebaalpeh has to remain oral for all time, and they're going to pass it down from father to son, mother to daughter, teacher to student, in a way that it will never be forgotten, but it's all Baalpeh. And therefore, if at any point in the future, and they will, Hashem says according to the Medrash, if at any point in the future, any non-Jewish nation grabs your Torah, they'll only have the physically written, documented version. They won't have the Torah Shebaalpeh. In which case, they can never claim that they have the full Torah. They're always missing something. This written Torah in Greek, and from there every other language, is regarded by Chazal as being the darkest days in Jewish history. Chazal say, Maseches Soferim, the day on which this Torah was finally completed in Greek, it was as bad as the day that the Egel Hazor, the golden calf, was worshipped way back in the desert, hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. Why was it so bad? Why was it as bad as the Egel Hazor? How can you compare a translation to a nation, Klal Yisrael and the Midbar, serving a golden calf? One possibility is very simply from the Sefer HaTeidah, so straightforward, just like the Eger HaZav had no real substance, had no real worth, so too, this Greek translation had no real substance, had no real worth. It's such a terrible event in Jewish history that in fact we'll talk about it next week, Thursday, Mitzvah Hashem, on our Sora B'Tavis. In our Slichos, we have one line. There's a few lines discussing the different events for which we are fasting, commemorating. But there's one line, Melech Yavan Insani Lichtoiv Das Yavanis. Talmai HaMelech, we mentioned before, he is the one who instructed that we translate our Torah in Greek. One more reason to fast next week, Thursday, and to take it seriously. Talmai, by the way, was absolutely delighted with the results. He was so excited with this translation he received and how perfect it was that he called the entire community together in Alexandria and made a huge party for them. He favored the people, particularly the Chachamim involved, and he gave them even more gifts than he had given before, and he sent them back to Yerushalayim, weren't they delighted to get back home. If you want a date for it, we can give the date number 3515 since creation. If you reckon that we built second base Hamikdash at 3408, It's just about 100 years after. I'll just preface this by telling that you've got to be careful with these dates, because if you look at the secular dates, you get involved with the 150 years missing in Jewish history, and you'll have a very tough time equating these two Ptolemaic kings with our event, so good luck with that one. Masechet Sefarim does actually go through an extra detail on this story, which I find fascinating. It talks one Mishnah after the other, not about one translation, but about two separate translations of our Torah. In Masechet Sefarim, Perek Aleph, it's right there, Mishnah Zayin, it talks about an event where Talmai HaMelech called together five Chachamim, and he gave them instruction to translate the Torah, and there says the Mishnah, V'hayah HaYoyim Kosher Yisrael, Kiyem Shnas HaEgel, the quote we said before, it's as bad that day as the early Egel Azov. That Mishnah ends up with a few very interesting words. Shaloi Haista HaTera Yechela Lihitogen Kol Sarcha. The reason why that day was so bad is because the Torah wasn't completed in its entirety. We said before, it's the worst thing in the world, isn't it? That our Torah did get put into a foreign language, and the Mishnah here is saying the opposite. The Torah wasn't completed, and that was so bad. The next Mishnah afterwards says, Shuv Maasi Talmei HaMelech, another story Talmei, same guy, same story. But this time he gathers Shivim Ushnaim Zakenim. 72 of them, and that mission is much more lengthy. Tells you the whole story of how he gathered them together and gave them the instruction. It's there that you find this instruction of Kisvuli, Teres Moshe Rabbeicha. If you want a different source, there's a different source that does actually come from a much earlier place. The Sefer Sofim is actually probably about 8th century of the Common Era, from the Gaonim times. But you can go much earlier to the period of Megillas Tanis, which is essentially the end of Bayis Sheni. At one time, that was held up as the authentic source of halacha, but later on, as time developed, it became less nagea. It says there, it was on the 8th of Teves, where the Torah was written in Greek, in Talmai's days, the hachoshech ba la'olam shalosha yamim. Darkness came to the world for 3 days. So we have two different stories, according to the Masechet Sefarim. One was Talmai originally with 5 chachomim, then Talmai with 70 chachomim, and if you go with Megillas Tanis, you have Choshech coming to the world. It's not just as bad as the Eger Hazov, but actually Choshech for 3 days. Indeed, the title of this shir, The Darkest Days in Jewish History. The Yavit suggests that there were actually two different translations. Both were instructed by Talmai HaMelech, that's true. But there were different Talmais, he said. There's the first Talmai, the father. And soon after comes the second Talmai. And therefore, says the Yavetz, perhaps when the Masechet Sefarim has two different cases, two different Talmai stories, the first one is the first Talmai, who wanted to translate, but he only had 5 Chachomim. And therefore, the job wasn't done completely, and that was a pagam, because the Torah wasn't even then, even in its Greek format, in its completion state. It was chaser, not just by the fact that it's now in Greek, but by the fact that it wasn't even completed yet. Then comes along Talmai's son, Talmai the second, and he gets the job done with 72 Chachamim, and that job is done, and that's when Choshech comes to the world. What was that Choshech? What's it all about? Why 3 days? There were three tragic days that took place in the month of Teves, one after the other, within a 200-year period, spaced out. But three tragic events. We're saying that our event of the Septuagint, Targum HaShivim, took place. It ended, committed on the 8th of Teves, Ches Teves. The day after Tes Teves is the yahrzeit of Ezra and Nehemiah, essentially the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, the last people ever in Jewish history to have had Nevuah. And then finally, on the 10th of Teves, was the day of the Chametzah, besieged Yerushalayim, and after a 3-year siege, was able to finally destroy our Beis HaMikdash. And that's perhaps what Chazal meant. 3 days of Choshech, because one day after another, we have to commemorate such tragic events in Jewish history that have caused us anguish and pain till this very day. We get the last laugh, though, because of an amazing Medrash Tanchuma. Again, which discusses the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to document the entire Torah Shabbat Alper also. And like we saw before, different Midrashim had that discussion whether it should be written, should not be written, why not. This Midrash says, Bikesh Meisha Shetaheh HaMishnah Bechtav. He wanted the Torah should be written down, Torah Shabbat Alper should be actually documented. Since Hashem knew that eventually it would be put into Greek and from there to every other language also, and they would declare, we are Yisrael. Therefore Hashem said, no, I'm not doing it. But that Medrash is not particularly full in its way of discussing what the problem was, why it couldn't be put into Greek. It sort of ends at that point. However, the beautiful Pirush, the bottom of Tanchumas and most of our Gersas nowadays, from the Eitz Yosef. He has a couple of lines there in small print, which are so worthwhile noting. He says, yes, throughout Jewish history, we're always going to expect that the secular world, the Gentile world, the non-Jews, will call us to task on our Torah. They're going to take us one by one and say to us, your Torah, you think it's so magical, it's so gewaltig. I'm sorry, gentlemen, it's nothing. And more to the point, they're going to go even further and say, your Torah, that was then for you. That was when Hashem first chose you. We recognize that God accepted you. But that's different. Because that was before the Eger Hazav. Again, back to that quote, that the day of the translation was as bad as the Eger Hazav. Because now Chazal were at stake. Torah was at stake. Where people would come forward and say, you were chosen way back then, but not anymore. Sorry, you lost it. We are the new chosen nation, these other groups would say. I think 25th December we recognize that this is a very relevant talk for such a date. They've done that to us. And they tried so hard to take away our Torah. They tried so hard to understand our teachings, to use them against us. And they did. We have suffered for thousands of years at their hands. Because they have claimed again and again, yes, you may have been important then, but no longer are you even relevant. And despite that, despite their attempts, Kadosh Baruch Hu ensured from the very origins of the Torah, from the very first day we received Torah, as Am Echad B'Lev Echad, He made sure that they could never access everything we have. And to this day, despite the fact that we have documented Mishnah and Gemara, those are still to this day only the very headlines of Torah Shabbat Alper. And to this day, thousands of years later, we are still passing on our Torah Shabbat Alper orally. And they will never have access to that in its entirety. They will never be able to claim Anu Yisrael. That's our Zechus. And we have to be proud to maintain and to perpetuate that Torah. Ba'al Peh, ensuring it goes on from one generation down to the next. And to Chas V'Shalom, never let it be in the hands of our enemies, our haters. We have a pride that after everything we've got through, we've made it, we're here, and we shall continue. My Lord.